No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The 2025 NBA draft is over with for the Chicago Bulls, and they walk away with Noah Essengay and Lachlan Olbrich in the draft in the first and second rounds of the NBA draft. But like always after the draft, it leaves fans wondering, what if? And I think this is a perfect draft that expectation over reality has affected some Bulls fans, but then also the Bulls' own their inability to really be active and look at things. So we're going to talk about all the results, where the Bulls now sit after the 2025 NBA draft, and what's next coming down the horizon. We'll talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go and get into this content today, y'all. And 2025 draft is over and done with. And I want to be clear here. I'm going to separate kind of perception, lack of activity by the front office, and the players that they actually drafted. Because I actually think that the Bulls did pretty well in this draft for the players that they got. And I think always with an NBA draft, especially when you're a team that's in a lot of rumors, it creates this expectation that is not really reality from your fan base. Now, I want to be clear here. I think a big part of the kind of the fan reaction to this draft by a lot of Bulls fans is because of the lack of activity and the lack of trust in this front office as well. And there's a little PTSD from other places as well. And I think all those things kind of overlap. I think it was all really brought together great by my brother Korn in his voicemail yesterday. He was really, really upset, right? I think that comes down to expectation more than the reality of what happened. Now, coming into this draft, most Bulls fans looked at it and said, look at the centers, myself included, right? Looked at the centers in this draft, the hole that we're about to have with center, and said center has to be what the Chicago Bulls address. I can't tell you if I go through and filter the comments over this channel over the last 6 months and filter by center, it'll probably be the largest chunk of comments that we've gotten. And mainly because there are so many fans, oh, we got to walk away from center. I don't care what we do. It just has to be a center in this draft. And we were told pretty early on into this process that the Bulls weren't looking just at position. They were looking at best player available plus players that fit into the way that they want to play. And that's what they were prioritizing, the overlap of those two things, rather than a specific position. Now, I do think that the Bulls had Kamon Malawak high on their draft board. I just do. I think he was also a project, much like Noah Essengay. And it seemed like the Bulls were trying to call up. And basically, what Mark Eversley said after the draft was that after number 10, they knew they were going to get their guy. And that was probably because Kamon was gone and they knew the number one guy on their board after Kamon. Now, that's all guessing by me, right? But again, the expectation from Bulls fans was center. And you had a lot of center prospects in this draft that made sense, right? You had Kamon Malawak. You had Thomas Sorber. You had Asa Newell, who may not be a center at the next level, but we shall see, right? You had those guys that were there. And that's just to name a few. Derek Queen, who was actually on the board, right? You had all those things that were there, and the Bulls passed up on it. And then they went with another raw prospect in Noah Essengay, and that's where we get into the PTSD part. Now, over the last 24 hours, I've seen so much of, oh, my God, it's P-Will all over again. Oh, my God, it's this, it's that, it's this. Never take it. The Bulls have ruined from the fan base. And I want to be clear. I am putting the onus on this on the Bulls front office, not fans, for how they feel. I do think there's some, you know, PTSD in there that needs to be dealt with, but it's all rooted in this front office. Not one guy that they picked as a project, other than Modest Bouzelis, has really worked out great. Io was kind of more of a proven product, right? Dalen Terry was definitely a project, didn't work out as of yet. Julian Phillips is in his second year, and he's still rough around the edges, and he's not like this clear player where like he absolutely has to be part of our, outside of some guys. We get occasionally people like once a week, they're like, oh my God, Julian Phillips is him. But, you know, which is weird. But, you know, so Julian Phillips hasn't necessarily worked out yet for the Chicago Bulls. And then you have Patrick Williams, the ultimate project guy that never really developed and that Bulls fans are over. And there's a level of PTSD that's in that, is that the moment that you pick anybody that's raw, Bulls fans are going to go to Patrick Williams. They're going to be like, oh my God, it didn't work for Patrick Williams, but it's not going to work for this guy. And I think that we have to separate that. Now, this is also, again, the onus on the front office, because you did not and have not developed guys. Now, I do think we have a better framework to development. Having Dan Craig and Wes Unseld is there. Having a player development department, yes, they fired Peter Patton, but they still have a whole player development department that their whole job is to watch the tape of what these players do, send that tape to the coaches, send that tape to the player and say, hey, this is where you could have tweaked this a little bit. This is where you didn't attack this close. Like, that's what they're focused on doing. Most teams don't even have that. So while, yes, we lost Peter Patton, make no mistake about it, Peter Patton should still be here. Only 9 teams in the NBA have a player development department. And so the Bulls being one of those teams, and not every one of those teams has a Peter Patton on it. So it's more of an analytical department to look at things and to send it over to your coaches. Now, when you have a guy like Peter Patton ahead of that, you also have a development coach that can then go out and implement that. But let's look at who Dan Craig and Wes Unseld have worked with, right? Dan Craig, with his time with the Miami Heat, Bam Adebayo. I tell you what, Noah Essengay, I'm not saying he's a Bam Adebayo clone, but I'm saying a lot of what Noah Essengay does defensively coincides with how Dan Craig worked with Bam Adebayo defensively. And Noah Essengay is a hell of an athlete with an almost 36-inch vertical and an almost 9-foot standing reach. So I do think Dan Craig, who's worked with him, Tyler Hero, right, worked with a number of players that have come into that Miami Heat team and organization over the years, and I think Dan Craig is really well-suited to do that. Let's also look at Wes Unseld, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. He's worked with that guy, helped refine Aaron Gordon a little bit, Nikola Jokic, right? He's worked with these guys, and these guys have talked about it. And I always like to go off what the players have said. The players of Jamal Murray, Jokic, these guys have credited and gave Wes Unseld a lot of what helped them mentally as far as the development part of NBA basketball. So I think we have a better foundation to develop than what we did, for example, when we drafted Billy Donovan, and it was Billy Donovan, Chris Fleming, Mo Cheeks, and no player development department. So I trust Dan Craig, Wes Unseld, and a player development department, even without Peter Patton, to do more in the development area. Now, it's still a lot on the player. And one of the things that held Patrick Williams back was his mindset. It wasn't the skill set. Patrick Williams still has a decent enough skill set to be an NBA player, but the mindset that he had, the lack of drive that he had there, is really what held Patrick Williams back, on top of not having a great development system when he came in here. The Bulls have the development system. The question now that we ask is that, is Noah Essengay more, does he have more of a fighter's mentality and a drive to be great than what Patrick Williams did? And I tell you what, I get that, you know, I was talking to somebody in the comments. They were like, well, his interviews, he seems passive. I'm like, he's an 18-year-old kid. He may be a little, like, there's cameras in his face. But on the court, Noah Essengay is not passive at all. He gets out in the passing lanes. He attacks. He gets to the free throw line at an amazing rate. That's not a passive player. I would love for Patrick Williams to get to the free throw line. That means he's attacking players off the dribble and using his size and speed to try to get to the rim. So I'm not as worried right now about the mentality part of Noah Essanay. Now, I got to see once he's on the basketball court for the Chicago Bulls and all those type of things. But for the Bulls, in taking a project player, they have all that PTSD, all that history that's going to be with Bulls fans that they created and they put there to where there are not going to be a lot of people that judge you well on getting a project piece because of what you've done before. And that's what it comes down to for this Bulls team. If a team like the Heat, if a team like the Spurs took Noah Essanay, it would be looked at so much more positively by their fan base because guess what? They have a history and a reputation of developing players. The Bulls don't have that. So it's not unreasonable for fans to look at this with a little bit of, oh my God, we're about to do it again, especially when you see players like Derek Queen still on the board, especially when you see like that. So, you know, I get that when it comes down to it. But I think when you look at how, again, separating the response and the front office from the actual player, Noah Essanay is a good damn pick by the Chicago Bulls. Now, is it the for sure pick that people know? Taking an 18-year-old kid that's raw, it's never going to be a for sure thing. It's always going to be a chance that it does not work out. And again, because of the Bulls and their history, that chance that it doesn't work out is always going to be magnified by Bulls fans because of what we've been through, right? And what we've seen here with this organization. Can't blame anybody for that. But the pick, the player in Noah Essanay, for him to be as raw as what he is and be able to attack what he is defensively, the offense is not there. And I know a lot of offense is easy to translate for a lot of fans, right? Because it's that number on the stat sheet. Oh, you scored 16 points. It's easy to transition. But what Noah Essanay brings, when we talked about this draft, we needed a switchable point of attack defender and one that can get in the passing lanes. Noah Essanay actually on paper brings all of that. And if he can work out the offense, if Dan Craig was unselled, his player development department can get to the point of developing him, then that you may have a player in that. Now, it's up to them to prove it. I'm not saying any of this is a sure thing yet at all, right? But the Bulls and where they are, and this is another thing, there was going to be no pick that drastically changed what the Bulls are going to be next season. Even Derek Queen, Kaman Malawak, there was no pick that was going to drastically all of a sudden flip this team into being a surefire top six playoff team in this league next season. There just wasn't. Now, I know that per how you have your inclination towards players, how much you like a guy can make you think, like, hell, listen, I'm a Thomas Sorber guy. With Thomas Sorber's defense, his shot blocking ability, you goddamn right. I would have loved to see him be in this team and the Bulls push to a top six seed. But then guess what? There's no way that he would have played and started under Billy Donovan. Well, started under Billy Donovan and probably would have been a gradual increase. And while like a guy like Thomas Sorber, I'll just use the guy that I like a lot. And Thomas Sorber does have the higher floor as far as like baseline of what you think they're going to be. You know, it still wasn't going to drastically change it. The Bulls bet on the future. And they got contract extensions. So they're betting on a player that they feel has the talent. And keep in mind, it's not just the Bulls front office. I said this yesterday in a tweet. Almost every major outlet and draft source that you look at has graded the Noah Essanay pick an A to an A minus. Then you got a B plus and one. But a lot have graded the Bulls as one of the winners of the first round by getting Noah Essanay because that potential is there.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And again, Bulls fans are not going to trust that that potential is going to be hit because, again, we're Bulls fans. We've seen how this team has failed on getting the potential out of players. But you know, if this ends up working out, we're talking about in 3 years, a player that could be the perfect front court mate with Modest Bouzelis. Modest, who's still growing as well. And while Noah Essengay may never be this offensive isolation scorer, we'll see what happens there. Pascal Siakam comps. Giannis Antetokounmpo comps, which he's never going to live up to. I hate those type of comps to superstars, but it is what it is, right? The Noah Essengay pick is a solid enough pick and a pick that most teams where the Bulls are, where they are far enough away from competing, would have taken. But for Bulls fans, they want a more sure thing because guess what? Every time this front office has tried to bet on a project, it has not worked out. And that's the thing that you cannot, if you're being fair, you can't overlook. So the Bulls front office, I feel like this pick is made it a prove it pick. Now you got to, if you truly talking about, you want us to be patient. Now you have to develop this kid. And that means that we have to see, and year one is going to be a little bit rough, but we have to see a clear path of getting this kid minutes, of getting this kid developed, of who's working with him, of him rounding out his game, him doing that type of thing. But I will say this, while, you know, even Mark Eversley did say, you know, we'll see what he does as far as a stint in the G League. I'll tell you this. You can take this to the bank. Noah Essengay is coming into training camp trying to prove that he needs rotational minutes right now. You hear it from this kid. And defensively, maybe that gives him an option to do it and what he's going to be able to do with his size and all that type of thing defensively, maybe it does. But I think that's another reason why Bulls fans are rightfully upset. This did nothing to change the Bulls rotation. As it stands right now on paper, the Bulls rotation, their starting five is still going to be Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Kevin Huerter, Matas Bouzelis, and Nikola Vucevic. With the bench rotation being Ayo Dosunmu, Lonzo Ball, Zach Collins, with Julian Phillips, Patrick Williams, somewhere in that. And that's going to be probably the bench rotation there. And so because now that on paper you don't see that drastically changing right now in year one, of course Bulls fans are going to look at that and think, what the hell are we doing? But then you flip it to the second round. And I think the second round is where the Bulls fans and their concerns were more evident. The Bulls, even before the second round started, traded with the Los Angeles Lakers the 45th pick for the 55th pick for cash considerations. But then, to throw even more salt on the wound with that, the Los Angeles Lakers then took the Chicago Bulls' 45th pick, right? They took the Bulls' 45th pick, and then they turned around and traded that with more cash to then move up into the draft, into the second round. And they moved all the way up from 45 to number 36. So the Los Angeles Lakers went from 55 to 45 to 36, where they got a Duke Thero. One spot above that was Ryan Kalkbrenner. Rashear Fleming went number one in the second round, but they did say the Minnesota Timberwolves, who traded that pick to Phoenix, that pick was for sale too. But then that makes matters worse. When the Los Angeles Lakers traded the Bulls' 45th pick to Minnesota to move up to 36, a player that was perfect for what the Bulls said that they wanted. Mark Eversley, after the first round of the draft, came out and said, yeah, we're looking into draft and stash players or maybe, you know, getting out the second round completely. Rocco Zakarski, the center, the young center, who's only 18 years old, 7'3", with a 9'6 standing reach and well over 7-foot wingspan, who is only 18 years old and is going to go back over to Australia to play for another year or two. The perfect draft and stash player at a position of need ended up being taken with the Chicago Bulls pick anyway in Rocco Zakarski, meaning that the Bulls failed twice. You failed to look at the market and see that you could have moved up in this draft with a little bit of cash to then get a player in Ryan Kalkbrenner who has a chance to be a rotational center for you right away. But even then, had you just stayed at number 45, the perfect draft and stash center that has the ability to put the ball on the floor, that can be a lob threat, that blocks shots, all those type of things. He's still very raw, but that's the type of player you look at and you say, yeah, all right, we'll see you in 2 years and let's see how you develop. When you come back at the age of 20, you should work on a couple of these things. Now, much like I said with the Noah Essengay pick, to separate that, the front office there from the player, I still think that Lachlan Oakbrook is a pretty solid player to get here in the second round. He may never play an NBA game. And I want to be clear. Most second round picks that are taken that low never play an NBA game. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I'm not going to try to sell you on, oh my God, this guy has a clear path to the NBA and this and that. But he is a guy that, guess what? He went to college over here. People have actually, he's drawn comps to Domantas Sabonis. Not to say that Domantas Sabonis is the end all be all, but he is a 3-time All-Star and he's drawn big comparisons to Domantas Sabonis. Bleacher Report, in their write-up of him, projecting any incoming prospect as a Domantas Sabonis prototype feels risky and feels unfair. But all Brick's credit, he's flashed Sabonis in training potential with his polished footwork, elite hands, and soft touch around the rim. He's a crafty, short-roll threat who makes smart reads, keeps the ball moving, and can finish in tight spaces. The feel for the game that Albrick has is really good. Now, he's not an NBA athlete, which sometimes doesn't stop players from making the NBA depending upon how the intelligence of their game. He's 21 years old, 6'9 barefoot, so basically 6'10 with shoes, 230 pounds, and a 6'11 wingspan. Solid enough prospect there. When you look at Domantas Sabonis, he measured in at 6'10, 238 pounds, with a wingspan below 6'11. So maybe the Bulls did something here that we don't expect. We'll see what he does in the G League. I just, in safety, am projecting him to be that player that we've had always in the G League that everybody's like, oh my God, he's putting up good numbers in the G League. Why doesn't he get NBA minutes? And ends up never. Hello, Adama Sanogo. So, but we shall see. It seems like they did pretty decent per what you tend to expect from a second round pick. The problem is that the Bulls had a chance to not just do what you typically expect from the second round, but they had the chance to be aggressive and get really good talent in the second round that they ended up bunting on and not getting. And that's where Bulls fans continue to get disheartened by what this team does. And that's just the reality of where things stand. So we'll see what happens here. We'll see what the Bulls end up doing. Maybe they can turn things around, turn us around on those players. But like I said, the players that they got make sense. And I know a lot of Bulls fans are going to say, Hayes, you're crazy. I was in the comment section talking to somebody yesterday, like, oh my God, Hayes, you're indoctrinated like when you said Javon Carter. I said Javon Carter was going to be a good defensive threat and can stretch the floor three. I never said he was going to be the end-all, be-all point guard. I just looked at him being more ready than Io and Kobe at that time. But hell, yeah, you're right. I was wrong. Kobe White came into that season and was ready to go. And shout out to Kobe. But when you look at what they've done here, I'm saying that I can see the vision. But it's up to them to execute that. And that's where Bulls fans have a lack of belief in this front office. Can they execute the vision? That we shall see. But we got one voicemail in regards to the second round pick. We got Shay in here. Let's go ahead and play that voicemail.
Hey, I just saw the second half of the draft. And all I got to say is, what the fuck? Look, I'm not even going to yell. I'm not even going to get mad. It's just plain stupid. The fact that it was nothing but centers on him, Ryan Kochburner, Vlad Goldman, and a whole lot of people, and you didn't even get one of them. You got a draft and stash. Now, you did tell us what you was going to do, but Jesus Christ, we might not even see this dude because they might end up trading him in the future. And on top of that, I'm still not feeling the first pick, but it's like y'all didn't even try. Y'all didn't even try. And you traded down? Mind you, Ryan Kochburner went number 46, and we had the 45th pick. So we could have... Look, I know you on the wait-and-see train, but, man, this is just crazy. You want to know why fans don't believe in that continuity bullshit? Because here's the thing. Yeah, continuity, you have to have the same team, and they have to grow together. But here's the thing. When you establish Kobe White, Miles Bouzelis, and Josh Giddey as your core pieces, you also know what you have to do that AK is not doing? Building around them. Get a center that can block shots. Get some young pieces that can help them. You know what I'm saying? Be aggressive during the draft, during free agency, Now, free agency isn't starting yet. We're not even seeing that. Look, man, I'm not trying to be a negative Ned, but Jesus Christ, this is just pure laziness with this draft, with how they're handling this offseason. Which is how they're doing just a whole lot of stuff. And I can almost guarantee you, hell, even if we didn't trade that Lonzo ball for that pick, we could at least build it up on assets. See, that's what separates good teams like OKC from just terrible-ass franchises like us. Anyway, Hayes, tell me what you think. It's just, We could have did so much better, man.
The way that the Bulls handled the second round was bad. And you know, optics was bad, all that type of thing. And, you know, that's what I just said in the last segment. Like, you had an opportunity to just stay where you were, and you got the perfect drafting stash. Or if you wanted to be a little bit more aggressive, you could have moved up and got a Ryan Kalkbrenner, potentially, right? You could have maybe even, if you wanted to be really aggressive, you could have been the one that made the trade with Minnesota to get the first round in the second, the first pick in the second round, and you could have got Rashear Fleming. Right. So, again, the Bulls' inability to be aggressive continues to hurt them. And that's why fans don't have faith in them. And that's why I can't blame you or Korn or anybody else for looking at this draft and wondering what the hell, what the hell. So, I mean, that's where it comes down to. We'll see what ends up happening in the long run for these teams. But as it stands right now, man, I can't overlook it. I understand completely where you're coming from and your thoughts on this. And I guess we just shall see what the Bulls do with this. And if they actually, for once, put their money in the development where their mouth is. And that's all you can really hope for in this one. And we'll see. We shall see. But great voicemail, Shay. We'll get into the full mailbag tomorrow as we do every Saturday. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's my time for today. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything basketball related, but that is thanks to, the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.